I see Josh hasn't decorated his office since I left.
I did move the desk, though.
Everything's right. Running.
Peggy gave the thumbs up. So I am going to call the meeting to order. Thank you all for being here as we adjust to it being midnight at 4:30. Because we're on Zoom again, just that quick reminder that if you're actually using Zoom app, when we get to our discussion, if you can either physically raise your hand or use Zoom to raise your hand, which depending on which version of Zoom you have, my version, I click reactions and then raise hand. And if you're on the phone, I'll try to check in and make sure we're not missing you. The Zoom audio is not great when multiple people talk at once, so we'll try to keep it organized. And then we do have some newer folks and a new member with us, so we're going to do full introduction. So please say your name and your role on the vision committee. So if you are lead of a work group or anything like that, and then also what kind of seat you hold. And as the seasons are changing, our question is, what activity are you most looking forward to for the winter? And Leslie, if you can run down the list, that would be great.
Sure. And I believe right now we did get a new planning commission representative assigned. I don't see him here yet, but he might be the one that would be hopping on. That would be the brand new person. But I will start with Peggy.
All right. Well, I'm Peggy Hawker, and I am currently a staff person for the city. My last day will be January 21st. So I have a lot of vacation to burn before the end of the year. So starting next week, I think, we're meeting up with my children and their family in this little fishing village on the east coast of Mexico. So
living vicariously.
Right.
All right. Next, let's go with Jeff.
I am with the airport committee and looking forward to doing art trips during this winter time and trying to stay out of the wet rain.
Thank you, Jeff. Jay.
Hi, I'm not sure what my position is on the 2040, but I'm here to do whatever I can. And I'm looking forward to skiing, although the temperature needs to drop a bit.
And yeah, you are one of our at-large seats. All right, and next let's go to Rala.
I am the vice chairperson and an at-large member and serving on the environmental committee and the business development committee. So, and I'm looking forward to traveling to Tucson, to Las Vegas, and San Diego during the winter. So,
thank you, Rala. Let's go with Michael next.
Michael Cito, I'm an at-large member, currently the F work group lead, and I've actually started, not just looking forward to, baking.
Thank you. Beatriz.
I'm Beatriz Poteño, and I'm with the Newport City Council, and the same like Rola, I'm going to take vacation and look for the sun and get away from cold and from the cold.
Well deserved, well deserved. All right, next, let's see, Bree.
Bree Goodwin, I'm an at-large member and chair of the committee and lead for the Preserving and Enjoying the Environment working group. And I'm excited to go cross-country skiing. So looking forward to the snow, and it's my first winter with my puppy. So we'll see how she does.
Fun. All right, Josh next.
All right, I'm Josh Conrad, and I am from the business side, and I am looking for, I am on the Environmental and the Business Committees, and I am looking forward to the slow season.
Excellent. Thank you. All right, Judy.
I'm Judy Kuhl with the Chamber of Commerce, and I am a stakeholder. And the thing that I look forward to is I love to do Christmas crafts and spending time with all of my great-grandchildren, grandchildren, and kids during the holiday season. So,
thank you, Judy. And then, Paula, I was hoping that gave you enough time to center it.
You did. I really appreciate that. I'm Paula Miranda, and I'm representing the port. And I am a lead for Business and Development Committee, and also I'm on the Livability Committee, I believe it's called. And I am looking for traveling as much as I can over the winter. And that includes visiting my mom in Colorado and getting some skiing done as well. So,
thank you. And I think that's everyone but me at the moment. My name is Leslie Politosh. I am the Vision Program Coordinator staff member. And I also am hoping to get some travel in. I have a friend who's turning 50 and celebrating in North Lake Tahoe, where I used to live at a previous life, and hoping to go get down there to go celebrate and see some of my old friends, and maybe ski too for the first time since I've had knee surgery. So I'm going to be taking the beginning and intermediate routes only.
All right. Thank you all. And so now we'll move down to the approval of the minutes for the October 14th, 2021 meeting. So I'll entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll second.
Okay. So motion by Rolla, second by Jay. Any discussion? Hearing none, I will call for the vote. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. And checking in with staff, our next agenda item is public comment. Do we have any public comment submitted?
I didn't have any.
Great. I don't know that we ever have yet. Hmm. One day.
I checked today. All right, just so, before the meeting.
Thank you. Getting down to our discussion items, 5A is the 2022-2023 goals and objectives for the Vision Advisory Committee. And Leslie, I'll pass it over to you for your staff report.
Sounds good. Peggy, if you could enable screen sharing for me, I'll get that up. And I did just want to mention, I did some last minute updates of some of the attachments. And so if you are having a hard time getting any attachments during this meeting, make sure that you're going through the city's committee page where you would find the link to watch this. And that agenda will be accurate, but I will be sharing the screen if given the, here we go, code here. All right, so, sorry, there we go. All right, so this is one of the tasks of our annual committee duties, and some of the work groups were able to bring up some items to add and adjust to our goals and objectives for the next fiscal year. So this is to move the dial forward and hopefully get some sort of draft, because the final draft is due mid-December, as I learned from Derek's report to the Planning Commission yesterday. So we will have an opportunity to get the final approval on our December meeting if we aren't able to do that today. So I am going to share the link here, and I did want to just share some of the coding in going over this document. Yellow means that part of this action has been started. If it's green and strike through, that means that we achieved that goal and we can celebrate. And then on that, notice in 1D, we were officially approved with our ordinance change at the beginning of this month by the council. So that quorum change will become effective in our December meeting. So thank you for making the quorum today. And for everyone from here on out, the quorum will be set. So the other additions that have been made by the A group meeting have been added here. And then after I go over those, I will open up conversation on any additions or to the goals and objectives. And again, when I did share this in the past few months, talking about what our tasks were coming up, ideally a goal is an overarching idea. And then objectives are measurable moves to move the dial forward on towards that goal. So the recommendation from the A work group that discussed this a bit talked about the ones that are yellow, unless there's other objections from the committee, moving those forward to the next fiscal year to keep working on them. And then adding these two suggestions. 1F comes, and it will actually retouch on this topic when we get to 5E today. But Peggy did learn in discussion with David Allen that no matter what we call our committee rules or bylaws, that they are bylaws and they will require approval from council, even though they will require less steps than an ordinance change would be. But with that new information, we also realized that the draft that was created and approved by our committee back in 2018 never technically got approved or finalized. So the fact that it kind of will take another group decision to create guidelines or bylaws, and that we have so many other things on our collective plate for this fiscal year, it was recommended that we somewhat replace what we did with our ordinance change with committee bylaws for next fiscal year's goals. And
so
then the
Leslie,
other...
Mm-hmm. This is Michael. The problem I have with that is the whole work group structure. We're continuing now with a structure that's not valid.
I don't know. I'm going to default to Peggy on this, but I will say that I think what I understand is that bylaws are specific to a committee, but work groups were something that were in effect for all committees. But Peggy, if you have any feedback on that.
I'd like to thank you, Michael, for your concerns. And I guess I would like to know, are you concerned about quorum issues with the work groups?
No, it's just that the committee's been acting under the assumption that when these things were passed back in 2018, that was the process and the new structure under which to move forward. If we're saying these are no longer valid, and I guess I'm concerned with delaying them. I would think taking care of it sooner rather than later.
Well,
all we would need to do is re-vote on the document that was passed in 2018 and say that we want the city council to approve it.
That's right. That is all you would have to do, or you could amend what you adopted in 2018. When a committee, a city committee, adopts bylaws, they have to be approved by city council resolution. In fact, we have a set of bylaws coming on next Monday's city council meeting. It's the Bicycle Pedestrian Committee. They've created bylaws, actually updated bylaws. And so it probably wouldn't require a great deal of work, assuming you are all comfortable with what was established in 2018. But my understanding was you wanted to amend that to include a participation policy. So those, you would want to hammer that out before you send it to council. But I do understand your concern about operating kind of without real guidelines at this point.
Yeah, we've also, from a committee standpoint, approved the language for absences. So just adding that into the document and having a vote on it seems fairly straightforward. We should probably target that for next meeting. That's my thinking.
So we do have a full discussion on this later in the agenda under 5E. Leslie was just setting the stage that... So hopefully we'll have time to get to that, but right now let's get back to the 2022-2023 goals.
And then the other suggestion from the A group was funding resources, staff in the community, whether public, private, nonprofit, or a combination thereof, to facilitate ongoing efforts of the Vision 2040 Advisory Committee. And that is somewhat, in my opinion, it's somewhat of a continuation of 1E. But that is what has been recommended in the form that I was seeking for from the committees thus far. And so open up discussion on what the committee would like to do next steps for coming up with goals and objectives for next year.
Again, I just following up on what Michael was saying for specifically for these goals, I think if we finish any of these ahead of time, that's totally great. So it doesn't mean that we're waiting for the next fiscal year to take any of these actions. So I'm fine, even if later in our agenda we decide to move forward more quickly on the bylaws, leaving that goal or leaving the objective 1F in this committee goals document.
Are there any suggestions for additions or any questions on progress of anything in the yellow that has not been covered yet?
I'm not seeing any
questions.
Hands raised.
So I guess in my perspective, we do have two more work group meetings that, one has been met, but the other one has to meet, and then we'll be reporting next meeting. So depending on what we decide in our 5E agenda item, and then if anything else comes up, I could clean this up and come with a final draft for approval in December if there's no objections to that.
Is that needed, or if, from what Bree said, can we just move to accept this as written?
That works for me, too, if that's okay with the team.
Go ahead, Paula.
No, I just want to say I'm okay with that. Basically, we can approve it with as written. So...
Do we need a motion for approval as written?
Yes.
Yes.
So moved.
Second.
I'll second.
Just slow, Rolla.
So I'm sorry to interrupt, but I didn't.
Trying to move.
I didn't see who made the motion and who made the second, and we have a contractor who prepares the minutes, and I know he'll want to know.
Jay did the motion. I'm not sure, bro, that was slow, but...
I second, but I don't care. Rolla came right after me.
Let's say Paula seconded that one, yeah.
Paula with the second.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, any further discussion? All right, hearing none, I will call for the vote. All those in favor, say aye. Raise your hand.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Right. Too many tabs open, of course. So moving on to agenda item 5B, work group reports for annual vision progress report. And we have A, B, E, and F. And so, Leslie, do you want to introduce your staff report and then we'll work through the list?
Yeah, thank you. The overall goal, of course, is that all work groups meet and complete the minimum annual year-end duties. We have reports ready from A and E that are combined into one. Wayne led those groups and put the reports together, and he is on vacation, but the work group members here will be able to answer some questions if there are any from the committee. And then we also have the B and F groups. So the idea here is just to go over the highlights, needs and gaps, and looking at the previous year's needs and gaps. There are some that might come up in multiple reports because they cross more than one focus area. So those it's a great idea to recommend those up to executive summary status. Also, you'll see in especially the E report, there are more than three highlights. So there's the decision to the group. Ideally, we're going to be keeping this report at a palatable amount for the council to take in. There's always options of adding links to additional items if we want to keep the highlight list at three, or if there's items that are associated under an umbrella highlight that we could link them under, that's another option to make multiple highlights under one highlight. So essentially just want to go over what has been shared and then go from there. So I have to switch my screen because I accidentally put the thing in another one real quick. Sorry. Too many screens open again. All right. So this is, again, what Wayne put together. I believe the highlights were to highlight additions. And Bree, I'm going to have you help me with just seeing if any hands are raised or anything that I'm missing here. And I guess I'll check in with Paula because she's the only group member here. Would you like to run down the A group highlights or just talk about anything from the process, or would you like me to take the ball and run with it?
You can, and if you don't cover, I'll be happy to. So it's up to you.
Okay, perfect. I'll just start going with it then. The group thought it was important to just re-highlight Surf View Village and the fact that they are, you know, units now that are available. They're also specifically for low and moderate income qualifications. Also wanted to re-highlight the Affordable Housing Partners meetings and the fact that they are continually communicating about other efforts, such as the Hope Rises Village, which is a project that will be hopefully building some multi-bedroom homes, focusing on single parents and their kids, and also building in support for social structure support there to have more of a transitional housing focus. Also wanted to re-highlight the Coastal Phoenix Rising project up in Lincoln City. That was the Project Turnkey effort that many agencies are collaborating on now with transitional and temporary housing. And we have included links to the most recent Affordable Housing Partners minutes. And if there are any new ones that come up in the next month or two, I'll update that before we report to council in January. I also wanted to just highlight the TSP project and in the stages. I did hear an update from Derek at the commission meeting yesterday or the day before, and that is postponed a little bit in its implementation, but they're still plugging along there. Last year's needs and gaps, this one's another big one that will stay for a while, is the Big Creek Dams project, but Wayne did want to highlight the lottery funding that is going towards that project and the estimated cost, and that it will remain a high priority. And then there's a recommendation for city council opportunities to improving housing supply. And so the last one is the needs and gaps identified is, again, the Big Creek dams being a multi-year project to be reported on annually. There's also the collaborative effort that was brought up a little last year, but with Dev Northwest providing low-income housing rehabilitation loans, and that the county and other communities are expected to follow suit as the city's already forwarding its share of the funding. Also brought up the regulatory changes expected in the STRs, as well as the importance of availability of affordable and workforce housing, cross-cutting lots of focus areas. And then this is another item that'll come up in a few because I will admit it as just the South Beach multi-purpose trail system and just kind of the idea that multi-use trails have been voiced by the community as important in the vision in the Parks and Rec Master Plan and again in the TSP plan and just with the evolution of so many different strategies and community outreach processes kind of pushing certain projects down the line. There is concern from the community about price value of property going up or price properties getting sold and losing opportunities to really build new developments around this multi-use trail system idea. And this specific one between 40th Street and the airport is one of the bigger cross-cutting multi-use trail ideas because it does serve a vital function of connecting the emergency tsunami cache at OCCC with the evacuation site at the airport in a way that would not need to go alongside Highway 101. And with that, I guess I'll open up. Paula, did you have anything else you wanted to add or wanted me to revisit that you'd like to talk about?
No, the only thing I would add, and you sort of mentioned that in the beginning, is the fact that so many things of extend in so many different groups, you know, and when you think about livability, that's especially, you know, because when you talk about business and development, for instance, we discussed that a lot of the issues with housing and some of the other things that it pertains to really the livability category. And then the other thing too, especially when it comes to housing, is that it also extends beyond Newport because, again, we are not only dealing with people that work here and live here. You know, there are people that work here and live all over the place. As you mentioned, Lincoln City there, there's an interest there because the people live in Lincoln City, Depot Bay, Yahats, and Toledo, you name it. So the reality is that need for all the municipalities to work together because there are people commuting in all directions and they depend on that affordable housing. So that's the only thing I would add.
I had one little comment. During our meeting we had there with Paula, one of the questions was just what is affordable housing? You know, I hear the term all the time. I'm just not quite sure if there's a definition out there. You know, when they start building affordable housing, is there a goal, cost, or is how does that work? What is affordable housing, I guess?
Well, in my view, affordable housing would be basically based on different locations because it's what people need in order to live in certain areas. So you're going to, and they have to build to a goal in mind, and that is going to vary from town to town, I'm assuming, but they have a certain goal that people can afford, so prices cannot be beyond that price set. But again, what is that here in Newport? I have no idea.
Yeah, that was the question. What is it in Newport?
Rolla, after that meeting, I was kind of looking that up too and trying to find what it was, and it would never give you know, like a definition. It was always based on income. So whatever your income is what you can afford, I guess. So I could never find anything that defined it.
Yeah.
Well, I do know there is the example of the Surf Village apartments, and they are limited to median and below medium income. So this might be a question I can float back to AHP, maybe not in time for this annual report, but for future reports, just to have more of an understanding of what that affordability is. And it also reminds me of some conversations we've had in the past as far as livable wages. And I did at one point find a livable wage calculator from some university that took in a lot of different variabilities. But yeah, I wish Wayne was here with us today because I'm sure he'd have some more insight. But that's a good question for us to investigate in the future if there's no other answers at the moment.
So Leslie, it's Michael. I agree, you're 100% correct. In my view, if you take what you think is the typical hourly wage here, for example, let's say for easy math, it's $10 an hour, then you say just if you assume people are working 40 hours a week, 50 weeks a year or something like that, and then take 30% of that, that's really the money that people could afford to spend on housing and be, you know, in a normal situation. So the numbers can be calculatable. Then there's the other question is, what is the actual target that Lincoln County and others have? So I think if you can find some information on that, that'd be great.
Okay.
Is that 30% of income for housing, is that a suggestion, or is that in any way an official statement of where things should be at for housing costs?
I think that's sort of a governmental number. You will also find a report that's available here in Lincoln County as to the number of people who are paying more than 40% of their income for housing.
Do you have a link to that report that you could send me after the meeting?
I can try and track it down and let you know, Leslie.
Great. Thank you.
That'd be great.
We can link that into the report.
Just making sure for timeline and giving feedback on the work group reports to put together our annual report, because there is the overlap and some of these need to be narrowed down, but some might be moved up to the front of the report from the work group report. So it's our goal to finalize the report at our December meeting so that way we have all of the work group reports and then we have our whole picture of how things are moving around.
Yeah, that's, go ahead, Paula.
No, you answer her and I have a comment.
Okay. I think the idea is if there's items that come up multiple times in different work groups reports, if that's already happened, we can have those bumped up to executive. And then I guess just wanted to get collective feedback if there was any like hard no's on any of these or any idea of like, oh, those look like they could just be umbrellaed under, you know, a certain thing. So anything, I guess, to move the dial forward. So when we get our last two work group meetings reports in December, we've got a pretty good base to go from.
You cover what I was going to ask, what I was going to suggest, Leslie, because I was going to suggest exact that. If something comes up multiple times in different groups, you know, obviously it has a higher importance. So.
Yeah, so definitely Big Creek. I know we're getting to be later, but just highlighting that Big Creek is one that I know is in B and has a lot of overlap.
And then I'm already guessing that affordable and workforce housing, knowing what the other groups talked about, is probably moving up pretty. Does that sound all right for those here as well?
Yeah.
All right. Great. Anything else on the A section before we move on to E? I'm glad Jane's back for us this part.
I think we're good to move forward.
So next we have E. Jane, would you like to run down or would you like me to keep going with it? All right, I'll take that as I'll keep going with it. But Jane, if you want to join at any point, just let me know.
Sorry, Leslie, can you hear me now?
Okay. Yep, I got you. Yep, that's all right.
Yeah, I was saying the exact same thing. I'm happy for you to continue, and then I can add if something comes through.
Perfect. All right. So I'll admit this one, this report does get lengthy because there's obviously so much important stuff throughout the COVID response continuing. So we bring up the collaborative emergency response efforts to the pandemic and again, including links to the stakeholders that are taking big lead roles on that. Also talking about mobile services and also how mental health, telehealth, and other multilingual outreach, food security, affordable and free healthcare options have all spiraled off of that collaboration that stemmed from the emergency response effort. Also brought in collaborations about COVID and wildfire emergencies. So that catalyzed alternative non-congregate temporary housing programs. This, again, Coastal Phoenix project comes up here. That is technically up in Lincoln City, but as we've talked about with other topics, it is still benefiting folks who are getting care and service in Newport, and agencies that are based in Newport are also helping with that effort. Samaritan Health Services acquired a regional assessment and implementation disaster plan grant. So that continues with harm reduction departments with CTSI, or Confederated Tribes of Tsleil-Waututh Indians, and other regional collaborations. Samaritan Pacific Community Hospital was ranked by the Loan Institute Hospitals Index in social responsibility, and it's ranked of 30 out of 13 hospitals in Oregon. It's third, and both hospitals had an overall ranking of A in community benefit and patient satisfaction. So through that link, you can find more specifics about that, but it's a pretty cool study. Then there is work towards the Coastal Resiliency Project with the emergency water supply, and the city is working with the Samaritan Health Services with that. So Jane can go into that a little bit more in just a few if she'd like, but essentially it's going to be an emergency tank that will also, in non-emergency modes, help the water supply in the bayfront. But if an emergency or tsunami happens, it would shut off that supply and reserve it for the hospital's uses. And then again, this is a long list of highlights. Some of these might be able to umbrella it or move to the other areas that also affects. Emergency services has budgeted funds to construct a new shared emergency services center. And that would be part of the Lincoln County Commons redevelopment master plan. So that would be a really great central area for such a location and would involve multiple agencies and emergency service support. This one will come up in other work groups as well, so it might be an easy way just to shuffle that to a different work group, but talking about the Juntos en Colaboración continued efforts, and that has spiraled into Juntos en el Jardín, which started with a Spanish language Seed to Supper class this year and garden sites at the Lincoln County Commons. That effort and that collaboration has actually secured a national level grant that will be focused on extending that gardening program up to Lincoln City and also continuing to use the trilingual messaging systems that have been seen as effective in getting messaging out. So again, the links are pretty exciting there. We also wanted to bring in the fact that dental services such as Wellness to Smiles and a new grant with Samaritan Health, the healthcare facilities are working on bringing in dental care as the holistic part of the body that it deserves to be, and there's programs supporting that. Last year's just bringing up more work on drug and alcohol abuse and addiction support and wraparound services by Comet and Lincoln County's Community Justice Program. And then continuing to partner with mental health care, veterans care, and child care improvements. Secure more funding for child care, of course, is important. Talking about also the car camping program that was recommended by the Homelessness Task Force that is being piloted by the city, still looking for other stakeholders to jump on that wagon and help find places for folks to car camp. And then just the question of the fact, again, staffing is a really hard issue for people all over right now. And just continuing to understand why people aren't able to keep jobs here. And of course, things that have already been brought up are housing and childcare issues, but just trying to especially understand why, professionals are having a hard time staying in their jobs here. So, Jane, anything to add onto that or anyone else that was in that group with us?
No, Leslie, that was very comprehensive. Thank you.
Any feedback from the committee on that report, one way or the other?
So I guess we talked about limiting highlights, and there's a lot of good stuff here. So I wonder how we are going to handle that, basically. I know that definitely there is some overlap, like Juntos is in maybe B and F working groups.
Yeah. So Juntos would be a easy one either to move just to one of those groups reports or move up to overarching. I was also thinking that dental services might be able to fit into one item under just collaborative healthcare and because, you know, mental health, physical health, dental health, all is a part of the whole service. So that could be an option.
I don't know, Leslie, on that section that talks about, if you go, I think it's number 3, if you can go down a bit here.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually number 4. It's really highlighting just an award, but
okay.
if we wanted to keep that on there, I think that we could tie into the RAID grant as well as the dental piece in with number 4, because those
Perfect.
Really are kind of those social responsibility type things that, you know, traditionally, historically, bricks and mortar hospitals don't usually provide, but because we are a critical access hospital and really look at, you know, the holistic care of the patient, that it kind of ties into that piece. So that's another option as well.
That sounds great to me. So that would be getting 3 into 1. Jane,
yeah,
would it
and
be
then,
possible?
And then, oh, sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, would it be, would you perhaps take those 3 and be able to reword it? I really
sure.
liked your social responsibility verbiage on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll be happy to do that. And the other piece, and I don't know for number 5, I'm not familiar with the work of the other committees, but infrastructure. So this is really about, you know, infrastructure and emergency preparedness. So maybe we could just say a sentence in that other category if that works as well. We could just tie that into to some other category.
Okay, into the emergency. Yeah, that would work. Perfect. Okay, so 5 with the emergency services item. Great. Thank you. That's very helpful. That should get that down. And then, we'll have another go at it at December's meeting if I can't get it into about 3. Great. All right. Any other feedback on that before we go to B?
Annie. Did a good job.
Thanks, Parkers. All right. I'm just pulling up the screen for Bree if you wanted to get started on that.
Sure. So while Leslie's pulling that up, I'll just start. Our first success highlight is I think we'll probably get elevated because it touches on Juntos and the MOU between the city and OSU Extension. So really kind of getting at the cultural competent programs. And that's been addressed sort of in different ways in other working groups. So I think that's a good one to kind of move up to the executive summary. And we also have some of the cultural competency down in the needs and gaps too, which I'll get to. And then a highlight, we have a success and in progress, which we're really excited about, but the tourism industry taking big steps in sustainability, which includes Newport Seafood and Wine taking some pretty big steps in preparation for next year's event to be even more sustainable, working with some community partners. And then the Oregon Coast Visitors Association declares a climate emergency. And then another really cool thing that the city did under a strategy that's actually they're a partner in, but they led a bunch of 5th of July cleanups, which is the dirtiest day of the year for our beaches. I guess more 4th of July is than 5th of July is the nasty cleanup. So that was really awesome, and it inspired a lot of different partners from government, NGO, and waste management to start working together to take that countywide for next year. So a success that inspired a growing activity for next year. And so those were our three highlights, which one might get moved up. And then looking at last year, so we had Big Creek under our last year's needs and gaps. And so there are, again, sort of different elements touched on by the different working groups. And so I think we'd support putting this as one of our top level issues. There was some success in funding, but also some funding that we'll have to apply for again, but a really important project that we want to continue to highlight. And then we also had highlighted the Lincoln County Climate Action Plan. And the pandemic slowed progress a little bit, but there's still been a lot of meetings to move this forward. So we want to kind of keep that on the books. And then looking at our needs and gaps for 2022 and beyond, this might be an overarching one. And I think we've discussed sort of the vision orientation for new city employees, and there might be more, but in our Preserving and Enjoying Environment work group, the public works director and city engineer are like really, really important city staff members for the strategies that are, or for the actions that are in our section. So we want to make sure that they get trained on the vision. And then we also had the South Beach Multipurpose Trail System. And I think I knew this was in the other work group report, so kind of copied that one over. So we definitely would support that one getting moved up into the beginning of the report. Any questions, or my fellow work group members, if there's anything I missed?
Just a comment that not something you missed, but there is a lot of legislative activity regarding forest practices that's going to be coming down the pipe here in the next few weeks. So those of you who are on Mr. Gomberg's email list, you'll probably be getting a lot of information about where that legislation stands. So it'd be worth paying attention to, I think.
Thank you. I think we're good with the B group, and who's our F group?
Yeah, and I think you are on the docket to present for F, if I remember from our meeting correct.
Oh, yes, that is right.
There we go.
So, all right. So looking at our successes, continued challenges of the pandemic, and then false start of getting back to normal and back to full pandemic mode. So transparency and communication was really important, and kind of thinking outside of the box. So this is really recognizing the efforts by local government, businesses, nonprofits in helping to increase communication during this time when we're not really seeing each other in person nearly as much. And then the second one, which again might get elevated, is, which I think we just saw in the last work group report, but looking at the Juntos project and grant with OSU, Lincoln County Extension. I think that's three work group reports that showed up in so far. Looking at last year's needs and gaps, there's this one that I think is also in our committee goals about analyzing the capacity and sustainability of our committee once the grant funding ends. And so we just made a note for an update under that one that we're still really working on this, essentially. And there's a little more detail in that sub-bullet that we'll provide to the council. The next one is working on the 2040 Vision website through the Community Website Partnership. So there's an update for the council in there. And also highlighting, which is brought up by Michael, that eventually there will be a financial obligation to keep that website going. So giving the council a heads up now that eventually there will be a $120 annual fee for that. Some of it might get front loaded from grant funds, but it's better. Michael and Peggy told us it's better to get that on the radar now rather than when it's due. And then this third item is really getting into diversity, equity, inclusion, and culturally competent outreach, and a little bit of work looking inward that we need to do that can be really supported by the city. So evaluating barriers to inclusion and participation by diverse community members in our own committee, and the goal of making the committee more reflective of our community. And so we did put a suggestion in here to that the city council adopt that for one of their goals, because it's really beyond the 2040 Vision Committee to really analyze participation in our committee, because it's kind of systemic in participating in local government. So we'll see if the council picks that up. Looking at the needs and gaps identified, I think this is supposed to be 2022 and beyond. But we had a great conversation, which coincidentally in my work life, this is being discussed by a bunch of different stakeholders, but this kind of the barriers to participation for all community members with kind of confusion or really kind of intimidation or lack of confidence in engaging in local government, and thinking about what we can do around that, for example, supporting civic engagement trainings. And so we talked about just sort of the plan for sustaining the committee, and the sub-bullet is about continuing our work as a committee, but that's something that I think would be good collaboration for looking at. And then number two, increasing participation from Latinx, and outbound communications in Spanish and MUM. And this one, I don't know if we want to tie it in to the item that's getting elevated that goes along with culturally competent outreach, but that's something I suggest we consider. And then we have our vision website down here as well, and the needs and gaps. And I think we had also listed it as our follow-up for being on last year's report. Michael, did I miss anything?
Perfect.
Thank you. Any questions, comments, suggestions?
Looks good to me.
All right. And so, Leslie, so we don't need any motions related to these work group reports right now, correct? We'll do that next month.
Yeah, and I might just recap with what I've got for things moving up. We've got Big Creek and the watershed of Big Creek getting raised up as far as a continued need and gap. We've got the affordable and workforce housing also being elevated to executive section need and gap. And then a highlight we wanted to elevate was the Juntos and Harding, also working in the MOU with OSU Extension in the city as a highlight. And then there also is the need and gap that has been possibly, suggest maybe I'll get a thumbs up effort on this one, but the multi-use trail system and just addressing something that's been voiced in multiple community outreach things that we would like to continue to elevate as more plans are getting put forth. We get thumbs up on.
Okay. And Leslie, you, I thought you said we have more time for Group C, right? Yeah, because I didn't put it together because you said we had, although I'm getting it done next week because I'll be traveling otherwise. But I didn't prepare for this meeting because I wasn't told to do so.
Exactly. Yeah, because our meeting was so close to this meeting, I didn't want to make that crunch zone. And so we'll have C, and then our D group is meeting on Friday. So we'll have those two, and I'll work on kind of compiling these and umbrelling them and making them a little bit more easy. If there's redundant things in addressing last year's needs and gaps that are getting forwarded to the next recommendation, I'll put those in one spot instead of being repetitive on that too.
And then we'll vote on approving the report at our December meeting.
Perfect.
Great. When is the December meeting again?
The 9th,
December
the second
9th.
Thursday.
Okay, good. I'll be back.
Yay. All right.
Great. So moving on to agenda item 5C, opportunity for cultural fest sponsorship and partnering for outreach and celebration. And I'm just curious how many people tuned into the Cultural Fest last year. Oh, I forgot I turned my video off because I was eating. I'm raising my hand to no one. It was really, really fun. It was super fun. I'll let Leslie go into her staff report, but I was just curious so that she knows how many people actually got to experience this last year.
Well, and the good news, it is on YouTube. Anyone can catch a heck up on it. Beatrice might have raised her hand on there. I know she performed in it as well with me. So just wanted to bring up this opportunity. Olalla Center is in another planning stage of a cultural fest. I'm going to be doing a volunteer meeting tomorrow just to see where that's going. But I thought it was another great opportunity to extend this partnership with Olalla. As we've repeated multiple times, their work with the Juntos program has brought a lot of money into community forwarding efforts and food security efforts and improved communication services. The fact that they're part of the Juntos team with OSU Extension, and the city now has an MOU signed with OSU Extension to bring their programs into city facilities and parks, means that we have that added benefit of being able to have the Spanish and MOM language communication systems that they're constructing and have done a great job with. So the next item I'm bringing up is our plan for the Community Vision Awards and the Cultural Fest. if we're able to continue catalyzing this as a start of the vision award phase period, we can have that community event that would allow us to share news about Vision 2040 and the upcoming awards and get that important community outreach component in Spanish. And this year we are going to work on getting MUM language support and videos to just continue that culturally competent partnership. So I am proposing another $4,000 donation as a sponsor so that we can use our connections and sponsorship with Cultural Fest and also continue to strengthen our support with the Olala communications system. And this would be an identical amount to what we were able to contribute last year. Again, using the same grant funds that we found room for last year. And so without spieling more, if there's any questions or other thoughts on that, I'm happy to answer. But otherwise, that's what I'm hoping I can propose for a vote.
Okay, I'm not hearing any questions, so I would entertain a motion to approve sponsoring the Cultural Fest at $4,000.
I move to approve the recommendation.
That's Paula Miranda for the note taker.
I would second that.
And Rolla Cleaver seconding for the note taker.
Any discussion? Hearing none, I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. Raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the motion passes. Great,
thank you.
I'm looking forward to that.
Me too. Just want to mention it is in planning stages, so dates could be sometime in December. They could also push it to January. I'll keep everyone posted on the plans, but I know they will be very grateful for the support and the continued partnership.
All right, so moving next to agenda item 5D, the 2021 Community Vision Awards.
All right.
Right back to you, Leslie.
All right, thanks. So I just wanted to go over the draft documentation that I've put together, compiling as much of all the feedback that we got and the ideas. And with these documents and just any discussion or Q&A that comes from this item, I will be creating the additional translation, or I'll be sending it off for translation, creating, finalizing the nomination forms and all the press releases based on these documents. So we will start with the timeline. I'm going to see it. There we go. Here's a better version of it. So the overall timeline and process, we will start with the nomination phase again this year, aiming to target the holiday season and a free opportunity to show gratitude for the community helpers. So we will be asking for nominations being submitted online. And that will also include the opportunity for folks who want to make a video or audio submission. We're going to be asking for 1,000 characters or about 200 words or less in written or about 2 minutes or less in audio or video. And again, we'll be wrapping that up the last day of the first week in January to move into our next phase. This year, with the feedback we've gotten, we are going to have that volunteer panel of community leaders who are familiar with the vision. And I've got at least 5 highly likely on the first list. I'm also going to try to get some alternates in case anyone has to back out last minute. But in January, it would be their time to take the eligibility criteria and the scoring matrix that I'll be creating to narrow the field of nominees and ideally getting up to 6 candidates for each voter's choice category. And in the next document, I'll be bringing up, we get into the more nitty-gritty details on those categories. Once that field is narrowed down, the News Times is going to be helping us with their voting platform. And so this, again, we're looking around the first 2 weeks of February to focus on another free mood booster for another holiday that cannot always be happy for all folks. So focusing on showing your love for community helpers and voting for those you want to support. And the public votes would be picking 24 of the total 30 awardees. And then after that phase, and those winners are going to be secret, except for, I'm going to just jump forward down here to the green one, I'll go back. We are going to have our work group select from the remaining narrowed down field, six focus area standouts. So that means of all the rest of the nominees in the that didn't receive the Voters' Choice Awards, we're going to be adding one category, which will be, one spot on the voting matrix or scoring matrix, I should say, that would include the amount of total vision strategies that each of the nominees affects. So that would be showing that our work groups are the ones who are most concerned about tracking vision strategies, so that focus area standout would really be any nominee from any of the four categories that would be forwarding the most strategies. Going back up here, we are going to be waiting until February to make the final preparations for the award ceremony. And this is just so we don't have to reinvent all of our decisions around the shifting COVID protocols. But of course, we'll be thinking about possibilities along the way, so we're not leaving it all to February. But I just want the community and the team to know that the final decisions will be made in February and announced there. But we are going to be targeting the week between March 12th and March 18th for either an in-person, a hybrid, or a live virtual format awards ceremony. And that is the week before spring break. And it's honestly kind of one of the last remaining shoulder few days in our entire community's celebration season. And again, this would kind of be the ideal window where we're going into winter and quote unquote slow season for some folks, and giving that community opportunity for feedback and nominations and voting, and then celebrating and planning for the year ahead with the celebration. And then after the ceremony, we do want to make sure that we are going to be taking the feedback from the entire awards process and sharing it with the city of Newport and the stakeholders, hopefully as incentive for people to continue giving their ideas. And this, again, the award celebration itself is an idea where we take the community feedback on the award ceremony and try to improve it every year. And then I'm just going to keep rolling if that's okay. The other document that I put together is the Community Vision Awards call for nominations. And this is where we have a little bit more of the nitty-gritty details, as well as some links to examples from last year's awards for people that want to learn more. This is going to be kind of the big press release document that I'll send out. And so taking the same background of the awards as we used last year, a fact that was catalyzed by our advisory committee and it's made possible by the community building grant. We do want to make sure that people know that this is not taking any funds from pothole fixing or anything else on the city's coffers. This is specifically forwarding what we said we would do with our community building grant. I also bring up here when the awards will be decided and the potential for the different types of ceremonies we'll be looking at. So the fun part, we're getting to the category. So the majority of the feedback put us to outstanding business, outstanding 501c3 nonprofit, an outstanding employee, and that can be any employee, including a government employee, and an outstanding volunteer. Again, it's all going to be organized under our six focus areas, and I've included keywords under the focus area title so we can start linking more universally understood language representing what our focus areas stand for. And I do include a little grid showing those 24 voters' choice categories. And then again, there's links here to learn about last year's award winners and the link to the award video. We get into some details this year. Instead of making the winners go through hoops of check forms, we are going to be gifting gift cards to the winner. So it'll just be something we can hand off simply. I do include the paragraph about those who are unable to accept gifts for either legal, ethical, or personal reasons are encouraged to pay it forward to a local nonprofit of their choice. I do have information where a large amount of all of our award money last year was forwarded to nonprofits. And at some point I will be releasing that. I did want to make sure we got everyone's checks to the right places first, which is still in the process, and also want to be careful about not making anyone feel greater than or less than because they decided to pay it forward or not. So that information will be there. Just wanted to say that all eligible nominees will be recognized and have a nominee page, and I give examples of both the News Times articles and the pamphlet that was put together last year. And then this is what we discussed at our last meeting, and I got universal thumbs up on the feedback as far as nominee eligibility, so I won't go too nitty-gritty into that. And then I do talk about the voters' choice candidate selection. So this is the narrowing down where the volunteer panel will be given these specific criteria on a matrix to score. And this is something that I'm referencing from Sisters Vision Awards last year. I did fine tune a little bit to make it more showing of what our vision has been going forward, but alignment with the specified focus area, collaboration with multiple organizations and community members, ongoing impact and sustainability, overcoming adversity and rising to the challenge or beating the odds, demonstrated inclusivity of all community members, especially groups that are more frequently left out, and then those who have wide-scoping impact on the vision beyond just the focus area and they're nominated will also get a higher score in that matrix. And then those who are receiving multiple nominations will also get additional points. So this is just an idea towards being transparent and making it as easy as possible for those panel members to score and then have those getting the highest scores reaching that opportunity to enter the community voting phase. Just more into the online nomination process, and we are going to be accepting videos in MUM and audio in MUM, and we will be working with OSU Extension and Owala Center to reciprocate the community translators. We'll help with that. And then moving into the last stage here, I just wanted to give people also opportunities to get involved because these are ideally community awards. And the more we can get folks in the community helping with those awards, the better. So we will be seeking submissions for trophy concepts. And if I don't get any takers on that, I'll start outreaching to those who helped last year. Also wanted to just share the opportunity with teachers who would like passion-driven community appreciating assignment that can be catered to many subjects. And I can get into more details if anyone interested in that, but also students seeking experiential learn by doing education opportunities. There's everything from videography to writing to reporting and translating that could be done by those who want to learn. And this year we are going to be working on integrating a fundraising factor. And I'm actually gonna stop sharing here just so I can see faces. Bree and I have talked about this, and we do want to start showing that this community event could be an opportunity to raise funds. This year and next year, since we will have Vision grant funds, we want to have the stakeholder sponsor, who is a nonprofit that can actually legally run fundraisers, help us and become a part of the fundraising pie that gets collected. And the idea is that silent auction or anyone that wants to donate to a silent auction would be raising funds that would raise additional funds for all of the winners that are nonprofits of the awards. So adding to that money pile. Also, again, the nonprofit organization, this year we have Sear Fighter slated to help with that as a piece of that pie. And I'm also proposing that we bring in the Celeste Heritage Charitable Arts Fund because they have been raising money for their cultural center. And this is, I'll admit, a little bit of a personal hope of mine because I have been part of a lot of community meetings over the past years, including some of our own vision meetings, where I've often heard, why don't we have people from, you know, Confederated Treasure Sleds at the table? And I've been able to make some great friendships over the past year. And I understand that that desire of so many to want to get voice and help or support from Confederated Tribes of Siletz Indians is often can be a burden on the tribe itself when they're trying to understand what groups want them to do or if what the groups want are actually in benefit for the tribe. And so in our goal of starting to create a fundraiser that will help those in our community, I thought it would be appropriate to pitch, and I actually received permission from the tribe to pitch this idea of including a piece of that fundraising pie for a nonprofit that is most aligned with CTSI's vision and goals for that fiscal year. And this year it was to contribute funds for the Capitol Building Campaign for their Cultural History Center, which would encourage education of their history and also preservation of the artifacts for display. So so that is the idea as far as showing an example where we're starting to get community donations into this equation. And again, this year, we're just gonna be hopefully figuring the prize pie for the, our winners in the nonprofit categories, as well as our nonprofit sponsor who's helping organize and doing all the fiscal sponsorship for that program, as well as the charitable heritage fund. So that's a lot. any thoughts, feedback, Q&A opportunities? I'll start it wide open, and then if I don't get anything, I'll just ask specifics.
I guess, are there, do we need to actually formally approve any of this, or like the awards are a thing that we do, so do we have any specific formal decision points for this agenda item?
I guess the only specific one I'd like a group feedback on is just the idea of creating a piece of the fundraising pie for effort that's aligned with the CTSI vision, just building that into our capacity moving forward. But otherwise, I've done my best to make it as possible with all the feedback we've gathered. So if there's any huge red flags waving on any items, I'm all for hearing it. But as far as I understand, and Peggy, back me up, we can go ahead with these plans.
Yeah, I agree that you would want to have some support for your CTSI initiative, but I think that other than that, you could just move forward.
So I guess I'll just start with that one, and then if there's any additional feedback, we can go after that item. But Bree, go ahead. Sorry, you wanna?
I just said I see a couple nods. I'm not sure if that's for CTSI. Yes.
Yeah.
See all nods and thumbs up. And just checking on folks that don't have video on or just on the phone, if you want to make any comments about that.
This is Jane. I support it.
Thank you. All right. Excellent.
A fundraising piece of it, and having the News Times even more involved, which is amazing, is tying in with our goal for our current goal and future goal for looking at sustainability of the committee and our work. So we're working on it.
And on that continued partnership and working on things. I did have a great meeting with Jeremy at the News Times, and for vision-related articles. They are interested in printing Spanish and English, and the Spanish at this point, at least while we have our grant funds, will be provided by us at the city. I'm really excited to start that precedent and hopefully continue as much additional Spanish language materials that we can.
So it's going to be like side by side in the paper?
I can't guarantee exactly yet, but there was interest if the city can provide the translations including that. The next stage was getting these materials finalized, and I'll be sending them off to Angel for translation and then final approval, and then sending it on to the News Times and the greater press release to the community. So there will be opportunities to help and get the word out and get nominations in. I know some work groups did talk about certain businesses, individuals, nonprofits that they'd like to nominate. So I would highly recommend that once this press release does go out and those links are active in the nomination forms, please make your nominations. Anything that does highlight those scoring matrix items, again, we'll be receiving better scores from the narrowing down panel, so that's something to continue to think about. And also, if anyone's really excited about audio or video nominations, we'd love some examples of that to share with the community as well. Thank you, everyone.
All right. Thank you for all of the work that you did in putting together beautiful documents and a great timeline. It's really pretty amazing to see the awards going from this pie-in-the-sky idea to getting implemented and then adapting and growing and changing. So it's been really great to kind of be part of this process especially.
And thank you for your help, Bree, and the fundraising that we'll be doing and also the media.
Yeah, we're figuring that out. And so agenda item 5E is updates on committee rules and bylaws. And Leslie, I think you said Peggy is going to present this. Is that right?
Yeah, I started a little bit, but Peggy, if you have any more insight that hasn't already been shared on this item, maybe just your conversation with David and the learnings we've all learned.
Well, I wouldn't say that I necessarily have additional insight. I do think that if it is your interest to get this moved forward quickly, it wouldn't matter when you accomplished it. One thing that you might do is create a working group to put this together and then bring it back to your next meeting. I think that would be the easiest thing because I see that there are committee charter rules that would need to be rolled into this other document that you're calling your bylaws. And I also think that you would want to take a look at what you would ultimately become your bylaws and make sure that there's not a conflict with the municipal code. I don't think there is, but I think that if you put together a small group to work on it, like I think Michael would be ideal to work on it because he certainly has an eye for that. I'm sorry, Michael, for volunteering you to do that. And I would be happy to work with him on that, but I think go ahead.
I was gonna say, I have no problem to put together some proposed text based on what I know, and then send it out to whatever group wants to work on this for further discussion.
And I'll admit the third attachment that I added on that was just an example that was created at the beginning of the first vision committee in the creation stage. So our committee as of yet hasn't had any time to discuss if any of those items exampled in there would be beneficial to bring into eventual rules.
So
I will say, if I just want to say that there is option as Peggy mentioned, the simply approved of what was approved back in 2018, which I believe it was just me, Bree, and Rolla, I think, on the committee, and of course Peggy at that time, maybe Judy. No. So we do have a fairly new group to think about bringing in these decisions. And just as far as my personal capacity until December, I'm not going to be able to be a part of any other work group meetings and just to get the ball rolling on these other topics. But I'm supportive of what the committee wants to do as far as that. I just wanted to give that input as far as I like the idea of collaborating on a set of rules as much as possible.
So what I'm, just so people know, what I'm planning on doing is, as a part of this work group, who we can talk later about who else might want to participate, is I'm planning on just getting documented what's already been approved. I think in the short term, what we need to do is get officially documented what we need to get officially documented, and then move forward throughout the next fiscal year to decide if we want to extend those with any particular policies. But as Peggy said, taking into account what are the bylaws for all committees, coupled with what's been passed by the committee members in 2018 and 2021, I think that'll be a good basis for having a document that can then be approved, and then we can move forward over time to add and extend it as necessary.
Yeah, and that part of that review, I noticed that committee membership is something that's in the ordinance and appears in the procedures document, but it's probably more appropriate to just be in the ordinance. So there's some of that overlap where we should figure out, or I guess you, Michael.
no problem. It's a direct cut and paste, Bree.
Yeah.
They just took the exact verbiage that was in the ordinance and put it into the beginning of this document. I agree, it's unnecessary.
Yeah, and then work in the attendance. So one other question I have. We keep using subcommittees incorrectly, which Michael pointed out is actually a pretty big deal because subcommittees are way more formal and we have to vote to create them and we have to abide by public meeting laws. So we either need to retrain our brains, or if that's not something that has to be consistent through all committees, maybe we need to redefine subcommittees. And I don't know which of those we should do, but one of those needs to happen.
My recollection, and maybe Bree and Rolla can back me up, when we talked about creating work groups, we specifically decided to call them work groups, so we didn't have that subcommittee restrictions in those work groups. And as far as I know, unless it was just using wrong wordage, we haven't had a subcommittee for anything since, or Peggy?
No, you're right, Leslie. We haven't had any subcommittees that I'm aware of. One thing that I might recommend is just take the subcommittee section out, because it is just not a good idea to start creating subcommittees when you have the ability to create working groups.
Agreed.
I like that.
Yep.
Go ahead, Michael.
I was just going to say, I agree with Peggy that we can make a much cleaner document. And since you've never used subcommittees as they're defined in that document, there's no reason for them to be there.
Good.
Another thing that will need to be amended, just as an FYI, is Section H, Amendment of Committee Organization Procedures, because I think that this document was called procedures, but it will really become bylaws, and bylaws are adopted differently than procedures. So bylaws have to be adopted by resolution of the city council. So I don't know when you're hoping to have this done. I presume that perhaps you would want to have a look at it at your December 9th meeting, a look at what Michael creates. And Michael, I'm happy to help out.
Sure, appreciate it, Peggy.
But the council,
I would like to bring something.
The council's only meeting one time in December, and that's before your December 9th meeting. So these wouldn't be approved until January.
Yeah,
I mean, a resolution wouldn't.
Go ahead, Peggy.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you, and I apologize. I didn't hear what you said. I was just mentioning that the first opportunity for this to come forward after this committee review would be the first council meeting in January.
Right, which is why I would like to bring a copy for vote to the next meeting, if we can get that on the agenda, that basically covers all the stuff we've talked here about tonight. If we pass it, fine. If we don't, we don't. But that would put us in a position for the city council to review it in their first meeting in January.
Sounds good. And maybe just keeping on the prioritizing of our current fiscal years, I might just put that item towards the end of the agenda if we've got a lot otherwise to cover, which we will, just finalizing the goals, objectives. Oh, wait, no, those are approved. Just finalizing the vision progress report and any updates on the vision awards would be kind of the only two things I can think of at the moment that would be higher in priority. But so hopefully we can just get that one in too.
Well, as long as we can run for 2 hours, I'm sure we'll get it all in.
All right. Anything else on this item from beyond the committee? Next item.
Yep. Then item six, committee comment. Does anyone have any announcements or other comments for us? Peggy.
Okay, so I staff a number of committees, and one of them was extremely interested in wanting to know who would be replacing me. And so I wanted to let you know that there will be a community reception to meet the candidates to replace my position, and that is going to be, I hope I don't screw this up, I'll let you know for sure, but I think it's December the 7th. It will be at the PAC from 4:30 to 5:45, I think, but I'll send that out officially. So if anyone has any interest in participating in that, you'll be able to weigh in on potentially who gets my spot.
Well, Peggy,
quite an interview process.
You have something. Yeah, if you have something and it's possible for public to attend, any kind of going away party, we'd be interested in the date and time for that too.
I really don't know. I mean, I don't know if I could actually plan something where it would be sort of a celebration of my departure. So I don't know what people will be doing, but yeah, I'm sure that, I'm sure something will happen, and I'm almost certain that I'm not really leaving on the 21st, but I'll be around to help. Whoever replaces.
I wouldn't call it a celebration of your departure as much as a celebration of the tremendous amount that you've done for the city.
I think we'll be mourning your departure.
Well, you know,
exactly, not celebrating.
I have heard Spencer say minimally three times this week that he's going to be here 2 or 3 years. So we need to get somebody in my position so they can become comfortable and at least be acting while he's, you know, after he really does leave, if he really does leave.
Well, all I know in the public sector is people never fully retire, so you're probably going to be participating, I'm sure.
But, you know, I would say one thing. I don't know who said this. I think it was Rolla, that it sounded like quite the process. It is really going to be quite the process because honestly, I feel sorry for the people who are applicants. We interviewed 9 people by phone on Saturday. That took all day. And then, well, not with each person, of course, we interviewed 9. And then each person will have to interview 1 with a community panel, 1 with a professional panel, and 1 with a department head panel. So they'll have those 3 interviews. Plus, then they have to interview with Spencer. So it sounds really like I'm glad it's not me.
And will all of them be at the December 7th event?
That's the goal, yes.
Wow.
Damn it.
Wow. Well, let's put it this way. All the ones who make it through the process will be.
I have to tell you, the December 7th event is before the process, so they don't know what lies in store for them.
Unless they're watching the meeting, yeah.
I kind of doubt that.
They'll get extra points if they are, right?
Right.
Exactly. Any other comments or announcements? All right, going once, twice.
Oh, Bria, I was just going to say to everybody that we are moving forward with Seafood and Wine Festival. And as Bria had mentioned in her report about one of the things that we're doing different this year is that we are going green with our festival, and we are partnering with Thompson Sanitary, and we will have bins. They're providing bins, and they also have Rotary has a group that is going to be at each of those stations making sure that the items get put in properly. At the very end of the festival, we will then weigh what our trash is, because they have records of what our trash was before. And if it's a certain amount, it does allow us to possibly apply for a grant with DEQ. And so if this all works like we're really hoping it works, then we can be a role model for all other festivals and that kind of thing. So we're excited about it. And Seafood and Wine is going to look different this year. We kind of feel like we've started from scratch, but I think it will be a different but really great festival.
Thanks, Judy.
Judy, I'm excited because I might be bothering Amy or Thompson's, because if it works really well, the supposed in-person Vision Festival would just be a few weeks after. So replicating a very small model for the community to see how that looked like and how that worked would be a great opportunity to celebrate, hopefully, your success in minimizing your waste there. So, yeah. Just planting a seed.
Yeah, and we're requiring all of our vendors to provide all recyclable materials and that kind of thing. So yeah, be interesting to see.
Thank you. And a call for any other announcements? All right, our next meeting is December 9th at 5:30. Thank you all for being here this evening, and have a great night. We'll adjourn the meeting now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Goodbye. If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again. If you need help, hang up and then dial your operator. If you'd like to make a call, please hang up.